We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Our next guest, Hall of Famer, three-time All-Star, Cy Young winner, over 3,000 strikeouts. He led his league in complete games four times. He won 20-plus games seven times. Fergie Jenkins in studio with Mac and Parkins on The Score. Hey, Fergie.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We have a texter wanting to know where your Canadian accent is.
Look, I'm just trying to keep my head down and suppress my Canadian accent. I'm not about to...
Well, I've lost it. I signed when I was 18 years old. I came over here in 1962. I think my accent's gone.
I moved here from Canada, and they think I'm slow, eh?
Plus, Chatham, Ontario is just on the other side of Detroit.
Yeah, 50, right? 60 that's, miles away. You're right.
That's basically Detroit.
Almost. Well, yeah. my dad was born in Windsor.
Okay.
And from Windsor to Chatham, it's about 50 miles. But I don't say about or out anymore. You know.
We are going to learn Canadian. With a lot of practice, you're going to find that speaking Canadian isn't so difficult. And in fact, our alphabet and yours are fairly similar. So why don't we begin singing it together? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, B, D, Q, R, S, T, U, F, W, X, A, and... All right, now everyone.
Take off.
Singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Appreciate you hanging out with McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Mac is at the hospital with his father today, so I'm flying solo. Shep and Tanny are here as well, doing a great job as always. Theo Epstein will be on the show tomorrow. Joel Quenneville will be on with Mully and Haw at 8:30 tomorrow morning, the new head coach of the Florida Panthers.
The Hawks?
Yeah. Yep, the Hawks. This hour on The Score brought to you by Advanced Heart Care at North Shore University Health System. Healthcare for what's next. White Sox trail the Rays 8-0 at home. The weather is absolutely miserable, and it actually looks like they are going to get a baseball game in tonight on the north side. The segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves have clinched their third straight Central Division title. Be there Saturday and Sunday for the final regular season games. For tickets or playoff information, visit chicagowolves.com. Before we get into any of the Cubs stuff, Shep says we have an update on the challenge to the Score audience. James Holzhauer seems like a fascinating guy. He's a professional sports gambler, had a poker service out of college. He specializes in live in-game wagering. He is the single-day Jeopardy champion. He'd buzzed in 133 times over four shows, got 129 of the questions correctly. They're comparing him to Ken Jennings. And he went to U of I and is from Naperville. And we couldn't track him down, so we asked the Score audience to find him for us. Shep, what do you got?
And the Score audience has reached out. We, of course, you know, ran into somebody that knew him from way back when. Reached out to old James. James relayed, "I'm not doing any live interviews right now."
So we found this man.
We did find this man.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't capture this man.
He's still on the loose. Okay.
Our fugitive's been on the run for roughly 60 minutes.
Okay. Mark Grody, by the way, will be in for transition in about 40 minutes. Are we confident that we have now a line of communication to this man for when his run on Jeopardy ends that we could maybe get him on the show?
Well, I found his personal Facebook page, also reached out, no response. Course, not friends, so he's not going to respond. But
so you believe his run will end at some point?
breaking news. I think at some point he will not.
Did they change the rules after Ken Jennings went crazy?
Like, I don't think so.
Won like 70 in a row or whatever it was. Like, did they change it so you have a max winning or max amount of times you can win?
I don't know. So whatever I'm about to say is uninformed. But I don't think so.
Well, they changed the rules because of Max winning and how much he won.
They did? Thank you.
God, Danny.
I was kidding. He doesn't know. My point is, why would they? It'd be good publicity. Why would they change it? Why would they change the rules? Let this man go forever. Ken Jennings is the best thing that ever happened to Jeopardy. If you guys could be on any game show, what would it be? I believe that it's my destiny to win big on Wheel of Fortune. I believe that I will go on Wheel of Fortune and win.
Can I take a time machine to go on the show I want to go on?
Sure.
Press your luck. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Love that show.
Okay.
Then the guy figured out the pattern and cheated his, not cheated his way, he figured out the pattern, he exploited the system, and, I mean, won, like, infinite amounts of money.
I liked Deal or No Deal as a no-skill game that was basically just hedging. That seemed fairly easy with the suitcases. And
I hate Howie Mandel. I couldn't stand in the room. Even if you're paying me $100,000, I couldn't stand by that guy for an hour.
Well, he'd prefer that you not stand by him at all. I would try to keep shaking his hand if I was on that show.
Hey, Howie, come here. Yeah. Let me give you a hug.
He's a germaphobe.
Yes.
Whiteboarding that.
Thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate it. What about you? Do you have a game show that you like to go on?
Because I'm so broke, I feel like I have a good concept of how much things cost. So I think Price is Right. I think I'd be able to cruise through that. I think I'd be able to identify how much things cost.
Okay. That'd be fun, too.
I remember when I looked up that vacation one time and we couldn't go. Yeah, I know how much that cost.
Oh, the new refrigerator, stainless steel. Okay. Household appliances. All right. Price is Right. Even with Drew Carey, I'd miss Bob Barker. That'd be the problem.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the Cleveland thing, so there's a reason not to like Drew Carey. But yeah, Bob Barker would have been ideal. So if I can get in Shep's time machine, I'd probably change a few things before going on a game show. But, you know, I would take that ride on Shep's time machine.
All right, good talk, guys. So
you have a Nickelodeon show grew up watching that you wish you were on?
Oh, Double Dare.
Double Dare was incredible. I wanted to
Legends of the Hidden Temple was mine.
It was great.
You get the history quiz at the start, then you got the... The whole temple.
Oh, fun
that to run
history
through.
Quiz. Enjoy that.
I
kids.
Hate you, Chris Tannehill.
What about Guts?
That was mine. The Aggro Crag. I wanted to go on Guts.
Let's go to Mo.
The Aggro Crag, man. That show looked incredible. Was it double?
Daddy is in first points with 300 points. Chris is in second with 200 points, and Nick is in third with 100 points. Thanks, Mo. Coming up.
That's your best impression yet.
That's all she did. They'd go to Mo and she'd literally
just
read the
standings. I thought Mo was in the room
right
now.
I know. It's amazing.
That's all she would do. It's like, all right, here's what I'm reading exactly what's on the screen and offering nothing beyond it.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
What was the Double Dare? Right? Is that the show where you can hit the thing in the wall and it would spray out the ooze at you?
Oh, you were so excited when I said Double Dare and you don't even know what it is.
Well, I'm mixing up the two shows. Because there was...
Are you
Wild
are
and
you...
Crazy Kids? Is that what you're missing
well,
up
that's
with?
What Wild.
Oh, I remember one that I would like to be on.
Was that before Double Dare?
There were very similar shows.
Are you thinking of...
One was inside, one was outside, but it was like slime and all the...
Yeah, are you thinking of you can't do that on television? Can't say that on television with the green slime? Is that what you're thinking?
Definitely
of?
Saw that, but no, there was...
Yeah, Double Dare was obstacle course. There was slime involved because it was a Nickelodeon trademark. There was slime on every show, except Nick Arcade, which I would have loved to have been on, where you're playing video games against people. That was an awesome show.
You would have been fantastic at it, sure. Yeah, you're right. There was a running theme of the ooze and the guts and all of that stuff. They blend together. In your childhood. All right, so you guys are taking a time machine to go on a game show. This is a true story. We were watching Wheel of Fortune last week, and my wife asked me if I ever replace Pat Sajak, I need to put it in my contract that she gets to be Vanna White. True story. That was a dinner conversation 1 week ago. So that's our dream job now that I already have this dream job. Just saying.
It's a pretty good gig. Pat Sajak do anything else?
No.
The things people without kids talk about.
Hey, dude, I know.
Can we just come over and just watch you guys interact? That would be like a vacation for us.
You're invited.
I know I am.
You're invited. I want you to come over badly. But yeah, man, our life is great. We get home. How's your day? Fine. How's your day? Fine. And then we just talk about nonsense the rest of the night. What are we going to watch? How late are we going to stay up? Red wine or cocktails? It's great. And then I sleep in and she gets up and actually goes to a real job. I'm telling you, it's not a bad gig if you can get it. All right. So it's horrible outside. And Yu Darvish apparently has to start in a baseball game that is going to be played. The beat writers are out there. They say that they're being told that there's an expectation that it'll be 30 degrees on the wind chill when this game starts. Yu Darvish, according to Jesse Rogers, has never won when he's pitched in a game below 50 degrees. So that ain't great. And it's a new excuse and all of that. But here is Joe Maddon on what is ahead of Yu Darvish.
It's not easy when you haven't done it before. And even if you have done it before, it's still not easy. You're going to have to do everything you possibly can to stay warm in between innings. Weirdly, when you're out there playing and it's you'll feel the cold until you actually start to do what you're ever supposed to do, then you won't feel it nearly as much in the moment. And then when you sit down, that's when it actually hits you.
Well, good luck with all that.
What would you do? Texter's pointing out for the game show. It's easy to mix those two up, Tanny. Okay, so Yu Darvish has to grind through this game. Anyone have confidence that Yu Darvish is a grinder? Like, anyone see a little Joey Knish from Rounders in Yu Darvish? Shep calls him 75 degrees and sunny.
Sunny and 75.
That's Yu Darvish. Sorry, I backed it up.
Important. Make it nice and short, concise.
Important correction. 75 and sunny. This is anything but that. So what's best case scenario? Six innings? 100 pitches? That he actually gets to 100 pitches?
You think he's going to get through six innings and just 100 pitches?
No. But I'm asking best case scenario. What is a win here? And just that he throws 100 pitches?
Well, let's keep in mind the Pirates did have all day yesterday off in Chicago. So there's that.
Okay.
Maybe they get the Chicago flu. Maybe a little wrinkle there.
Is that a baseball thing or is that just a basketball thing?
It's more of a basketball thing. Yeah, I mean, it's a night game.
Yeah, you guys are right. Yeah, athletes and baseball,
right.
They don't like to party at all.
I'm sure
they don't have a good time ever.
I'm sure they like to party, and the Chicago flu would be great. A little early in the season for it. It's not like the rooftops are open. The weather.
I'm trying to build an excuse for your guy, you.
My guy, you. Is he my guy?
Yes.
You want to protect him. You don't even want them to play tonight. You don't want him to get hurt.
I don't think that they should. I think that they should not play this game so that Yu Darvish doesn't have another excuse. It's a ridiculous lack of confidence in a $126 million man on April 10th. It is absurd, and it's a weird spot that they're in, and it's only going to get more uncomfortable because Tyler Chatwood is starting Sunday for John Lester.
The last free agent that it was, you were this, I don't know, lack of excited or you're this unnerved by this early on to a long contract. Is like Adam Dunn for the Sox.
Yeah, that was my first thing. Adam Dunn.
Halfway
before
through
you even finish
year,
your sentence, just... I was like, Adam Dunn. That was bad.
Yeah, well, listen, there are plenty of free agent busts that'll happen. John Morosi, when he's on with us earlier today, he's like, and remember, Danny, Yu Darvish is under contract through 2024. It's like, yeah, I know. I had forgotten.
Chef coached him up when he had him on hold. He's like, hey, make sure you remind Danny about the contract.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be a Cub for this and four more seasons after that. It had been a full hour since I had thought of it and wanted to throw up in my mouth. We know. And he's on the wrong side of 30. So, and they're talking about his last outing where he gets 12 outs. It's like, oh, it's kind of progress. You've got to talk yourself into being cautiously optimistic about it, but in this set of circumstances, it's just the excuse to bake in. Like, baked in. There it is. Damn it. Mac has made me so self-conscious of that one. So now we can see into the future. We can see it's 10:30 tonight. Joe Maddon's meeting the media. The Cubs have lost 7-2. Darvish gave up 5 runs in the first, and he's just saying, it's tough pitching conditions out there. You know, it would have been tough for everyone. He really grinded. He got through it. He settled down after one. And, you know, no one would be able to thrive in those conditions. Like, oh, but the Pirates held you to 2 runs. Like, that's where we're going here. And until he proves otherwise, I think that is a totally reasonable set of expectations for the Cubs to have, which is none. no expectations for them. They have to get through this stretch. Hopefully the bullpen's corrected itself, 12 scoreless innings over the last couple of games. That's great. But they have to get through this stretch with Lester on the injured list, Darvish not proving himself, and a shaky start to the bullpen with no Brandon Morrow and C.J. Edwards in the minors. They have to get through this stretch with their offense, period. They have to outslug the other team. And they've looked like they can do it so far, but until Darvish proves otherwise, I don't think anyone's going to have some confidence in him. Theo Epstein trying to change the narrative around urgency. We want to play this before our conversation with him tomorrow and some funny Cubs audio that you need to hear as well. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
October starts in March.
It's been one of their mantras. It was on the billboard. It's been an odd year of messaging for the Cubs from the end of season press conference where they said that the year will be a reckoning to October starts in March to playing with urgency to now saying, what? They want to have fun and the urgency storyline has been overblown and a lot of the stuff came from the players and not the front office, which, by the way, it did. They were reflective of what the players said to them, that it was too hands-off, that it was too carefree, that there wasn't enough structure and batting practice and things like that. So it is absolutely true that some of this stuff that the Cubs are battling right now came from the players saying what they didn't have last year. We're going to have Theo Epstein on the show tomorrow at 2, and he was available to the media last Saturday when they were on the road, then on Monday for the home opener, and he has been trying to tamp down the rhetoric around urgency. This is what Theo had to say on that subject on Monday.
This was a movement where, you know, the players and staff, everyone together, assessing ways we could perform a little bit better this year and learn some lessons from the way last year ended. Came up with a number of things that we wanted to focus on. And one of them this year was making sure that we apply the appropriate amount of focus and intent and preparation every single day for 162 games, which seems obvious, but given that it's 162 games, it can sometimes be harder than it seems. And I think that's a positive. And so one way to talk about that is with a sense of urgency.
And then how that relates to expectations and high expectations for this team.
There are going to be times throughout any baseball season when you're not living up to expectations, and during those periods, the heat will be turned up a little bit. That's the reality of the game and the modern game and the way it's covered, and we have no issue with that whatsoever. Ultimately, the tone around the team, the environment around the team will usually be determined by how we're playing, and we determine how we're playing. That's on us. So, we know we've had a tough stretch to start the season, and it's gonna create some noise. So it just falls on us to play better and settle things down. That's it. It's pretty simple.
So what he's basically saying is, we talked about urgency because the players said that there needed to be more urgency, and now balancing that urgency against expectations is just the job, and they welcome the scrutiny and the pressure, and that's life. And he's not wrong about that, but the balancing act is, can you, what we've talked about for 3 months on this station, can you play baseball harder? He was going out of his way to say, listen, the clubhouse is loose. The clubhouse is relaxed. This is an external storyline that isn't impacting the guys. But then you flip that with John Lester talking about pressing, and I think that's where the waters get a little muddy. What I think is happening right now is the Cubs are just playing poorly and none of the words really matter because their actions said all we need to know about the urgency of this team. And I know I've said this before, but I'll go back to it. The moment Theo didn't extend Joe Maddon, even just for show, just a one-year extension, just to say, hey, we're not going to commit to a long-term extension. We want to see how the year goes. But Joe's also earned being the winningest manager in the sport over the last 4 years. He's earned to not be a lame duck. That was what I said they should have done at the time. And I respect that they didn't. I think it's kind of ballsy, frankly. I think it's kind of ballsy, frankly, but it's got the opportunity to backfire. I thought what they should have done is added 1 year to his contract so that there was no lame duck, there was no worry of that, and if they had to fire him and they had to eat next year's managerial salary, they've got plenty of money. It's the Cubs. It doesn't count against the luxury tax or anything like that. It's separate money for managers and coaches, and that would remove some of the storyline of, oh man, Joe could get fired in season if he had a contract for next year. As soon as they did that, and they not only did not extend him, but they said, and we're not going to talk about it. He's managing this year. And then Joe came out and was like, well, I'm not a lame duck. I'm going to be a free agent. Meaning that, we talked about this with Sahadev last Thursday, that there's a scenario where the Cubs win the World Series and Joe Maddon still leaves. That's a crazy situation that they've set themselves up for. Now, unlikely on all levels, right? Unlikely that they win the World Series. Unlikely that if they do win the World Series, they'll want the manager to leave, but it'll be his right. He'll be able to shop himself to the highest bidder if he wants to, move on if he wants to, retire if he wants to, and the Cubs will be able to go their separate ways if he wants to. Right now, it's really hard to see Joe Maddon coming back. And so, to me, beyond the reckoning, beyond the billboards, beyond October starts in March, that's what put the urgency on the season. Not extending Joe Maddon is what put the urgency on the season. And whether or not, and that's good, by the way. I believe that pressure is good. I believe that high expectations are good in any sort of competitive field. Any field where you get measured against your peers, especially in a public setting, high-profile setting, whether it's sales bonuses, TV radio ratings, win-loss record, salaries that are published. Like I believe that pressure and expectations brings out the best in people. Competitive environments brings out the best in people. Maybe the story of this season will be that the Cubs are crumbling under the pressure. It would surprise me. Given that they had a 108-year championship drought and were able to end it, this pressure doesn't compare to that pressure. Guys have been paid. Guys have more pedigree. Like I'd be surprised if the thing that undoes this team was talk of reckoning and pressure and urgency and that sort of thing. But this idea that the words are what's hurting the Cubs and all of that, man, no. That started when they didn't extend their manager who was winning. That was when, you know, Ian Happ goes to the minors. When no free agents get added of real substance. When Theo answers a question from Mac and I at spring training about, hey, it's easy to see what happens if you guys go 95 games and win a pennant. What happens if this team underperforms at the end of the year? And he didn't answer about the end of the year. He answered about July. And, hey, we haven't been a seller in the last 4 years. They could trade Cole Hamels, whose contract's expiring. They could trade Ben Zobrist, whose contract's expiring. They could trade Brandon Morrow, whose contract is expiring. And obviously they could trade anybody else, but those guys would be, I would think, the top three guys that they could sell off to a contender. Those actions, way more so than words and billboards and articles in The Athletic, I think is what leads to the pressure of the season. And we'll see if they rise to the occasion. And that's why the early parts of the season matter a whole heck of a lot more. And now they're starting behind the eight ball and they dug themselves this hole. Which is why, hold on to your butts, Yu Darvish has to start in 30-degree weather on April 10th, and it feels like a big game. 312-644-6767 on the South Shore. Bill's on the score. What up, Bill?
Hey, Danny. Good show. How you doing?
Good, man. I appreciate you.
All right. Same right back at you always. A couple of things, man. When I think about this Darvish contract in the first place, I mean, I still don't understand why they made no overture toward Arrieta at all when really that 3-year 75M contract was way more team-friendly time-wise and essentially filled out the remainder of essentially this window, for one. Then you have this man still last year have a sub-4 ERA without a full offseason of training, take the ball 31 times, and you have essentially a man who was thinking about quitting baseball, and you're going to sign him to 6 years. I just don't understand that contract, and it bothers me all the time. Secondly, and I'll be quick with you and listen, but
hold on just one second before you make your second point, and I'll let you respond. Yeah. You and I are kindred spirits that the Yu Darvish contract now bothers you all the time. And I was excited that they signed Yu Darvish, frankly. I thought that Jake Arrieta's arm was going to blow out. But now Monday morning quarterbacking it, and I admit, like, I was wrong. I was excited about the Yu Darvish contract. I think about Yu Darvish's contract all the time. But go on with your second point.
Right. I mean, the thing about it was, I mean, with Jake, he was just so strong mentally and physically, and you know, he has been that way his whole career. And I feel like Yu has just not been that way. And that's why, you know, when it came out, it was like 6 years. I was like, man, you know, he's 31. That's going to be 37. And then Jake was willing to sign a 3-year.
No, deal, I know. He was, I mean, he wasn't. He ended up, it was a different thing. But go on to your second point with Darvish or whatever.
Yeah. My other point about Theo is, I mean, hey, he's always going to be a legend. He got the World Series. But a lot of these contracts, I just don't like. The Hayward contract, it has served its purpose. It's not that great. But the thing that really gets me is just not selling when people are at the top. Like, not selling Schwarber, not selling Ian Happ. And, you know, what you could have done, you know, it's like you're looking at some stock price and you're like, man, I should have sold because I would have been sitting on a lot of money at the time in terms of obviously not being money, but prospects.
Well, so, I mean, when would you have sold on Schwarber? After 2015 or 2016?
After the World Series, to be honest.
I mean, then he missed the whole season, basically, and just performs in the World Series. If they would have traded Kyle Schwarber after the World Series, I think there would have been they would have, in Theo they trust, and there would not have been riots or anything serious like that. But people would have been furious, man. I appreciate the call. What happened was with the position players is a ton of the young guys had bad years last year, and so they didn't want to sell low. There just wasn't a trade market for them because they still have reasonable contracts and they still have their service time for 3 years minimum. Right? Contreras collapsed. Almora collapsed. Schwarber was inconsistent. Happ was inconsistent. Russell was bad and had his off-the-field problems. So none of the young guys had a high trade value. Speaking of some Cubs audio that we need to get to, and bottom of the hour on the score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I'm not setting this up in any way, shape, or form other than it's radio gold from the home of Cubs Radio and our guy Ron Coomer.
There was a major equipment transaction in our booth between innings.
Woof!
Ron Coomer has a brand new chair. Now, what happened to the other one?
Well, we had some issues. It wasn't moving real well. You know, they're on rollers. There was like a couple innings in a row. I'm like, why isn't it moving? It's tough when it's supposed to be four wheels and you only have three.
Oh, yeah, just like that. Like in the shopping center when you have the cart.
Yeah, the bad cart.
Swinging a bouncer toward Rizzo. Rizzo down on one knee, shovels, underhand feed to Brock on the bag, and that's out number one. And you try to push it, and you just keep going around in circles for, you know, 20, 25 minutes. Kind of a waste of time.
25 minutes.
I'm guessing you don't go to the grocery store then too often, do you?
Not anymore. One away. Here is Jung Ho Gung. But well, you got a new chair.
I got a new chair. Dave Miska hooked me up with a new chair. I don't know who's standing in the hallway, but that's their problem right now.
You mean they were sitting earlier and now they're standing?
That very well could be, but right now we got a ball game and I'm sitting in a nice new chair.
It's a high-class problem.
Well.
Well. So do we think the Coom dog broke the chair, or are we buying faulty mechanics on the third wheel when he got to the chair?
Woof.
Because I will say, when Rick Camp broke the chair in Mitch Rosen's office, it's probably the funniest thing that's happened to me since I've been at the score. It's on a short list. He just leaned back in that chair and it snapped. And then
what part of the chair broke, though, when he did it?
The back. He tried to stretch his back.
All chairs. All chairs on the floor broke.
Yes. It was a crap.
And Coomer said that it's a wheel that shot off or fell off.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that wheel was, like, already missing.
I think it might have been faulty mechanics. But when I did the show with Spiegs, Jay, and Campy, on the show collectively, there were 7 career broken chairs. 0 from me, 7 from the... They all had a broken chair story. Spiegs jumped up into a chair live on the air, one of these like high elevated chairs in here, snapped off the armrest live on the air. I wanted that to be a gift so badly. The cruelest thing about the campy chair breaking was it didn't get thrown away for 6 weeks. Like the remnants of his broken chair in the boss's office just sat in the hallway out there mocking him, taunting him. And it was by the vending machine, so he saw it six times a day.
And like then, an old stadium chair you'd see in a Hall of Fame or Cooperstown, yeah, something like that.
Exactly. It's like the Bartman chair, the campy chair. And then Pat Hughes just bringing it up for the coom dog under the bus. Ron, you seem to have an equipment malfunction with your chair.
Pat Hughes. I love Pat Hughes.
There's a Zackle in the background. Care to tell the audience what happened to your chair, Ron? It's amazing. You guys ever broke a chair? I can't say that I have. I kind of feel left out.
No, I'm with you.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, believe it or not, I have not.
Tanya, you talk about yourself like you're much bigger than you are. Both in terms of weight, intimidation.
And in the industry.
No, in the industry, I mean, come on. You won the athletic producer poll for best producer.
But not for athletic producers. No. I would have lost that poll easily.
I don't know, but you talk about your stature like you're some huge intimidating. Have you ever been a bouncer or been in a physical altercation?
I mean, not in a long time with the physical altercation, but never been a bouncer or anything like that.
Okay, did you win your physical altercation?
It's probably a draw.
A draw?
It was one of those dumb, like, you know, middle school age fights. You know, no one really got hurt.
Okay, right. No one was strong. Those are like the type that I have. I can't inflict any real damage on anybody. But yeah, you're a gentle giant. Which is why we all love you, Chris Tannehill. Our guy Mark Grody joins us in studio for some transition coming up. We love the coom dog. This is McNeil and Parkins on the Score. What's up, Tom Thayer?
I do know it's you, Darvish, and not you, Darvish, because I was getting killed on your text message machine after what I was saying.
They were after you for a little while.
But hey, now I know his name. Now pitch better, and everybody will know your name.
You is supposed to pitch tomorrow. High, I think, of 40 tomorrow. Rain and high winds.
Play the game. Cole Hamill's my new favorite, by the way.
Oh, well, he's really? Got it. There's a guy he likes.
Love that guy. He's a new leader. I respect John Lester, but I like Cole Hamill.
You're awesome. We're going to just do baseball the rest of the summer with you, Thayer.
The people talk.
There is a Cubs meatball.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's amazing. Mark Grody in studio taking you up till Cubs baseball at 6:30.
He is a baseball meatball. That's good, though, our Cubs meatball.
It's hilarious.
Here's what I was thinking on my walk over here in the cold and the wind and like a spitting sort of rain right now. And while I was sitting around watching the White Sox today and watching Ronaldo Lopez, the game just ended, as a matter of fact. Tampa Bay beats the White Sox 9-1.
Eloy Jimenez just got his first extra base hit of the season with a double in the ninth inning.
That would be his first hit of the day then. So a 1-for-4 day, I think, for Eloy Jimenez. And that's good to see him get a two-bagger. But walking over here, I was like, you know how we can make baseball a lot more interesting, because everybody wants baseball to be more interesting and less boring and less slow and all that kind of stuff? Never ever play in this kind of weather. Don't play baseball until June. Shorten the schedule to 82 games. I say this every year and everybody says, well, there's a money situation with this. There's no way the baseball team, baseball teams are rich. Owners are rich. They'll be fine with 82 games. Don't play baseball until June. It's not pleasant to be in. You know what, Danny? It's not pleasant to watch. That White Sox game, it brought like depression to me. Just nobody in the stands. And why would there be? Why would you go sit in this? And if you're not at the Cubs game tonight, I don't blame you for that either. It's bad to watch. And I hate to say this. It's bad to listen to. Everything about baseball and cold weather stinks. Bears.
I'm just so speechless with how you can gloss over the, they're rich, they'll be fine. Rich people don't stay rich by giving away half their inventory. Now, I don't think that if you cut half the games, you would be worth half as much, because you could ticket prices could be more, ratings would be up, so you could charge more for commercials because there'd be more scarcity, so the demand of it would be higher. But You'd lose money if you had half the number of baseball games.
The NFL does wonderful with their 16 and sometimes more games. The NHL and NBA are filthy rich organizations in the United States of America that play 82 games each. You know what? Baseball would find a way. Life finds a way. Okay. Chaos theory. Life finds a way.
Jurassic Park over here.
They would be just fine with 82 games. And I wonder if people would care. And I know like it goes way. I mean, it's because it's not an aerobic sport that you could play 162 games, and that's why baseball and hockey probably are less. Or maybe they just thought that that was more reasonable when those leagues started, that, you know what, we don't need 162 games to decide our season.
162 games is obviously ridiculous. It is. It's just, that's so radical what you're proposing. It's only ever been, what, 154? So like they're like, oh, maybe we could go back to 154. You're talking about going to 82.
It would be a pleasant experience for everybody. Then you start when it's actually summer. You don't have these miserable starts and excuses for people with the bat and with the arms. So, I mean, I hate it. I hate cold weather baseball. It sucks.
Well, at least the Cubs need you, Darvish, to perform in suboptimal conditions tonight.
Yes, they do. And usually if there is an advantage, and really the cold weather suits nobody, it advantage pitcher. So hopefully you can take advantage of that.
A lot of people were texting that in today when I was talking about it. If it was John Lester, I would feel that way. But if it's just off in any way, I don't think Yu Darvish has the advantage.
Yeah, I mean, grip can be an issue in the cold, but, you know, it plain flat out hurts to hit a baseball in the cold, and that just, the human nature's motivation goes down in wanting to swing a bat and this stuff. But, you know, hey, Danny, we'll see.
We will see. We're going to let it play out. Man, chaos theory, human nature.
Oh, yeah. This is
a philosophical Mark Grody walked in today.
You know what? Oh, anytime I walk in this great, big, beautiful, freezing, cold city, thoughts go through my head, and that's what went through my head on my 20-minute walk in.
So how are you going to spend your 30 minutes?
Well, I am going to talk. Well, you know what? I got that off my chest. We don't need to talk about that anymore. I do want to talk about Yu Darvish and specifically the fact that we don't need to just get him right. The Cubs need to make him be very good to great to be an ace type of pitcher. And that's the problem right now. Everybody's sort of accepting, hey, could we just get him to go five innings and give up four runs and walk only two or three? No, we need that guy to be a straight up ace. So we'll talk about that. Tyler Chatwood pitching on Sunday. I think that's probably last call for his Cubs career. And a little bit on the White Sox too. And with Ronaldo Lopez having a dud of a season so far, are the Sox having to rethink their young pitching too? Unless Lucas Giolito turns it around, like he's had one good start, one bad start this year. Are they rethinking the core of their starting staff as well?
That's a full 30 minutes. On your Darvish point, I would just say crawl, walk, run. Yeah, over the course
of... We don't have time for the crawl, though.
Well, over the course of the contract, they need him to be an ace. I don't know that they need him to be an ace tonight. I just need him to not suck.
What if it was an 82-game season and you need him to be
then
an ace tonight?
See, we'd need him to be an ace.
There'd be urgency. We could say must win a lot more if it was an 82-game schedule.
Joel Quenneville joins Mully and Haw tomorrow at 8:30. Theo Epstein joins us tomorrow at 2 o'clock on this show. Thank you to Teddy Greenstein from Augusta. John Morosi was on the show today, as was Will Perdue. Mac had to miss today. He's at the hospital with his father. We're thinking of you, buddy. We're with you. Come back when you're ready. Absolutely no rush. We love you.
Amen.
Nick Szepkowski is our executive producer. Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. This is McNeil and Parkins. I'm Danny Parkins. Mark Grody coming up next. This is The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.